Get there first, the near post. Get there first, don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first, if it's for football news that you thirst. The near post, get there first.
Welcome to the near post. My name's Eamon Flanagan. We're talking football across the whole of Australia, the Australian Community Radio Network, and it feels good. With me in the studio this week, Michelle Bertrand. How are you, Michelle?
Well, thank you. Good day, Australia.
Good day, Australia. And also Paddy Bordier. Paddy, welcome back again.
Hey, how are you going?
Good to have you here. We talk all the issues of the A-League, the Socceroos, and we review the week ahead. We've got all the turmoil. Not that there's much this week, I don't think, but there's certainly plenty of opinions and rumours and quiz dedications and more. You can catch us as ever on the blog, www.nearpost.blogspot.com. Catch the podcast or pick it up through iTunes, as many, many people do. Email us nearpost2xx@gmail.com or my email through the blog. Show dedication, as always, this week's no different. We've got a couple of dedications. First of all the Gold Coast sports fans, what more do you need to get out and support a team? You've got the best team in Australia. You've got Jason Chalin. You've got Shane Smeltz scoring 4 goals, and all you can get is a poxy 7,000 out to watch. So get off of your backside and get out there. You've never had it so good. You live in the best place in Australia, probably, you know, or you think you do. We hate the Gold Coast, but we love your football team. And why you're not gone there in more numbers, God. And all I can only say is, so we dedicate this show to the Gold Coast sports fans, if you exist. And also to Beau Bush, because I think Beau Bush needs the dedication, because he's in for a torrid time. Everything he hit on the weekend went in. into his own net. Yeah, yeah. And the quiz question this week is name 3 teams Australia have lost to under Pim Verbeek. Name 3 teams Australia has lost to under Pim Verbeek.
The A-League and who's coming
3
last?
Teams Pim Verbeek's lost
near
to.
Post, get there fast.
Yeah, name 3 teams. That was Paddy's voice you heard on air trying to come to terms with the fact that Pim Verbeek has actually lost. So 3 teams Pim Verbeek has lost to under his Australian leadership. Michelle?
I don't know.
You do too. You went to one of the games.
Oh, was it against China?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
you
that's see, right. I know.
I know more about Michelle than Michelle knows about herself. Any more? 3 teams.
These Bahrain?
Bahrain. No,
we no, didn't. We won 3-0 against each time against Bahrain.
3-0. Yeah. What a memory. I didn't even know we played Bahrain, but anyway, yeah, go on. We won 3. Go on.
I've got nothing on this one, really.
Paddy, we've got him, Michelle. You're ahead. There's 2 more to go. We've had China.
Other Asian teams?
TikTok, TikTok. Yeah, one's an Asian team. One's, one's a very, very good Asian team that didn't get very far.
Iraq,
that's right. Yeah. 2. Paddy.
Ah, of course.
And who is the last team we lost to? It wasn't Ireland. Come on, Paddy. You know.
Come on, Paddy, have a guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. I really don't. Iran?
Iran. We've never even played Iran, but yeah. Good guess.
Yeah, I'm struggling.
Okay, I put him on the spot. Michelle. 2-0, you're just flying high, you've won anyway. Okay, of course, the other team is Argentina.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yes, of course. So easy when you set the question. Okay.
Right, can I set the questions next week?
Yeah, that's right, go for it. Okay, now we've got some news, of course, and we're going to get straight into it. First of all, the Halftime Heroes is out. It's still out. Over 5,000 people have read it, about 30,000 page views. So we're Australia's newest football fanzine. Get it from your near post blog spot. And it features some of Australia's more interesting football writers and cartoonists. Fox Sports' Simon Hill gave it a big plug today in his Fox Sports column, so check it out. And a big hello to Con Stamacostas. He's a joint editor with myself, and he's also a 442 blogger, and he has a football story blog himself. Did a truckload of work, so good on him, and I know he always listens. So, and next month, Con says the edition will be bigger and better. So there you go.
Right. Has Mark Viduka retired? Nobody seems to know. Fulham certainly think he has. Newcastle thought he had 2 years ago. We Australians need to know, and now, well, we want to know at least.
We need to know. And just on the Halftime Heroes again, Edward Phillips Williams sent in an email today saying he just devoured the first edition of the fanzine, and he said, so far you've cost me about 3 hours of work. I'm getting hungrier and hungrier whilst I sit here thinking about how little I've had for lunch and I really need to pee. But he said it was worth it. Good read, and keep up the good work, and great to read some W League action too. So we only read out the ones that are positive.
It's better that way.
Yeah.
The 5 millionth spectator for the A-League expected at Adelaide on Friday. That'll be a very happy person.
And we have been corrected on the near post. Michael Flanagan, no relation, says he listened to our entertaining podcast last week, and he said to let us know that Lauren McKinnon did not reject Oliver Bozanic, as we discussed last week. Quite the reverse. Bozanic trained with the Mariners for about a year and was described by Laurie as a wee bit special. Mariners offered him turns, but they knew he'd already had an offer from Premier League club Reading. So he's still contracted to Reading and is on loan to Cheltenham. So thank you, Michael, for clearing that up for us if we were in doubt, and obviously we were. Okay, more news.
All right. Also, FFA expected to decide on the 12th or 13th team at board meeting on August the 24th. Do or die time for all bids.
Certainly is, and Harry Kewell scored two overseas for Galatasaray in the Turkish League. Timmy Cahill didn't score as Everton were thrashed 6-1 at home to Arsenal.
First Adam Griffiths and now four-goal hero Shane Smeltz. Will Smeltz be on his way after four goals on the weekend? If so, expect a record transfer fee, something the other codes can only dream of.
And Adam Griffiths expect to make his debut this weekend for Saudi club Al-Shabaab after his reportedly $1.4 million transfer.
New clubs, 7,000 watched Gold Coast's home debut. Shows the work then that needs to be done to compete with rugby league and AFL across the country. Poor start, but surely only improve with the quality of the team. Surely.
Surely. And we haven't left Michelle out on purpose. We've only got two sheets, so we don't have enough paper to sort around. Celtic's Scott McDonald will face Arsenal in a huge Champions League game at Celtic Park on Wednesday morning, Australian time. And a huge raspberry to my mate, Terry Henry, who's often on the show. Terry sent me an email, and it said this: no matter who wins tomorrow, I know we'll still be mates. Well, that's crap. If Celtic lose, I won't be mate. But don't bloody call me, he says, for at least a few hours if we lose. Which just begs the question, you know, Michelle, Paddy, you know, when you're faced with somebody who you've been friends with for a long time, or somebody perhaps not, and you're playing their team, how do you react? You know, this is a big... Terry and I have had friendship for many, many years, over 10, 20 years, I don't know, forever.
Violence is out on this one. Just well, a good long sulk,
I think
sulk,
there's something
perhaps
stronger than friendship, and that's football.
There is. Well, I can guarantee you, if Celtic win, Terry won't pick up the phone for hours, maybe for days.
That's right.
So,
notice you're changing on that. If Celtic win, you were quite adamant that Celtic were going to win just a little while ago.
Oh, well, there's no doubt about it. I mean, just because Arsenal beat Everton 6-1, it's only a Premier League 6-1. Team, Everton.
And they're
never getting...
Are they that big a team?
They're only in the top... They're never getting the top team. Four. They're only like fifth or sixth in the league, so they're no good. And... again, at Celtic Park. Celtic Park is one of the unique places in world football. Don't let me go on. If Terry would have, he would have stopped me by now.
No.
It's one of the unique places in world football. And what will happen, this is my prediction, Arsenal will control the game for 89 minutes.
Yes, that's
there's
quite possible.
There's no doubt that they'll have 89 minutes of football, but Celtic will win the game at least 1-0.
On a counter-attack.
Well, we don't like to say counter-attack. It might just be an attack. We may only have
just the one attack.
I mean, counter-attack's a bit like suggest that, you know, you've planned it or something. But no, we'll just be having the one attack. And when we do, it'll be a good one. And it'll be a rebound. Yeah. It'll be off, off the post. And
Scott
McDonald just tapping in for 2 yards.
Yeah, all right.
Okay. And the 60,000 fans will go home happy. So
they will go home.
They will go home happy.
I thought Scott McDonald was on form against Ireland.
He is. We're going to talk about it.
So hopefully if it's... Well, plays the same way.
Same British opposition, I suppose. Although obviously Ireland are not British, but most of their players play in England. Now we're going to talk A-League.
Hi, I'm Simon Hill from Fox Sports, and you're listening to The Near Post across the Australian Community Radio Network.
Thank you very much, Simon Hill, who also gave the Halftime Heroes a plug today. Central Coast 1, Newcastle Jets 1 on the weekend, Gold Coast 5, North Queensland Fury not many. Melbourne Victory 3, Brisbane Roar 3, Phoenix got a win at home to Glory 2-1, and Sydney beat Adelaide 1-0. Michelle, I'll start with Paddy. Gold Coast and North Queensland, you had a bit of a look at that game. What are your thoughts on that one?
I'm a bit worried for the Fury, to be frank, and I'm well impressed with the Gold Coast. They really, really did control the game. They controlled it for large portions of the game. Fury were struggling against them. Fowler really looked like he was struggling without people to pass the ball to him. The struggle for consistency. In terms of even the length of the season, I think it's an indication of where the two teams have split. I think Gold Coast are going to go to the top of the ladder and likely stay there, and Fury are going to the bottom of the ladder.
Well, that's exactly where they are already. So Shane Smith's obviously got four, but I suppose the other thing about the Gold Coast is they changed five of their players from their first game, which a lot of people haven't focused on. you know, and basically you change half a team and they actually came out possibly stronger, or obviously the opposition was weaker. So that shows something about their strength in the depth, doesn't it, that they've got?
Yeah, I think so. I struggled to go past their front line. You know, Kalina and Schmelz, all the focus is on...
Sorry, the Fury, by the way.
Well, to less good effect. Kalina's getting a lot of the focus, and Schmelz is absolutely having, you know, certainly for the first two games, great, great games. I think he's benefiting from the fact that all the focus is on other players, and he's a very good goal scorer, certainly in this league. He certainly is.
I've got a concern about Jason Chilena after the year in the second half of that game, very early on, the score 1-0. He's starting to do a few back heels and flicks, and I wonder whether that's the sort of thing Verbeek worries about. I mean, it's all very well. I just don't think he'd do that sort of level of sort of showboating, if you like, or certainly relaxed football.
Yeah, I've never seen it from him before.
No, and you never see him in, that's right, and that's a good point, Paddy. You've never seen him do that for the Socceroos. Mm. And the fact that he started doing that when they were 1-0, I just thought, this is a guy who's got so much time. And at that elite level, we need, you know, that's where perhaps the sort of, you know, you just become a bit lackadaisical. I don't know. It just caught my eye in the second game when, he's starting to do that very early on. But he's, you know, he's playing well. So
The focus of my concern is Shane Smeltz's haircut. But yeah. Other than that, they're doing pretty well.
I just think you're showing your age there, Paddy.
maybe so.
Melbourne victory, Brisbane Roar. Michelle, you enjoyed that one?
I did. It was such an exciting game to watch, especially if you're not going for either team. I guess the Melbourne coach was saying, it wasn't pleasant for him to watch. But I thought Henrique was outstanding for Brisbane.
Henrique, the Brazilian.
He's only 23, isn't he?
Yeah, no, he looked good, and he looks a very great attacking option. Carlos Hernandez scored a couple, but he's been dropped by the Costa Rican squad, which is interesting, you know.
Yeah. How regularly was he getting a game for them?
Well, he'd been in the squad every time. I don't know, maybe he's not playing every week.
Well, it's a good chance for him to prove himself. He looks like he's doing well.
He did. Anyway, he's entertaining us, and we don't want him flying over there to play for Costa Rica because he comes back exhausted, so we need him on fire here. A good result, 3-3, but again, Brisbane, they've let in 6 goals in 2 weeks with Big Bob Malcolm, which is a euphemism for Big Fat Bob Malcolm. and Craig Moore at the central defence, you know, it's 2 experienced guys, but if you're shipping 6 goals, that's got to be a bit of a worry.
Well, they did lose Tadiata in the second half.
Danny Tadiata, that's not necessarily a bad thing, though, is it? Although he did get a cracking goal.
I think he made a difference in the second half when he wasn't there.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess there's more room, certainly. You don't have to look over your shoulder in midfield, do you?
He's got to make you nervous when he's on the field.
And a big rumour on the forums today that Mark Viduka was in town or going to sign with the victory, but it subsequently, after about 20 pages of writing, proved to be... the rumour that it's not true.
I want it to happen so badly. I think this is the A-League is the right place for Viduka. He can play in a league where he plays once a week. He won't get injured as much, hopefully, and he'll just be able to stretch his career out to just one more World Cup.
He needs to play if he wants to be in the World Cup.
Problem is, though, if he does sign for somebody, I can't imagine he's been doing any training. It takes him about 3 months. Well, it takes him 3 months or more to get fit, doesn't it? So it is a bit of a concern. But
I think he may have left things
and
a little
And I think
too
just
late.
On the video, I think we deserve, as fans of the game, that we deserve is he going to retire? He should tell us. He should tell them. If he's not thinking about getting a club, which he should know by now, he should at least come out and say, well, I'm not getting the club. I will not be playing for Australia again, the national team. I think he, because otherwise he's going to go out in a bit of a whimper, isn't he?
Yeah, it was strange. I couldn't get from the media reports whether they were saying he retired from the EPL or whether he retired from football overall. It's strange that he hasn't come out and said anything. All the news that we're getting are from people who have had conversations with him.
That's right.
Which has turned down their offers. So.
And the fact that he's talking to them, which suggests from the reports that he had actually gone to talk to them, which...
He's definitely got another season in him, I think, still.
Yeah, I think so.
Which one, though? Because this one started and he's not...
He'll make it.
Come back, the Big Dukes. We need you. Maybe that's it. Maybe he's waiting until the absolute last day of the season, last day of the transfer window, so he can miss the first 4
Viduka always plays well when his contract is coming to an end. And he puts everything he's got together to impress, and he always gets another contract.
He does.
Maybe he's waiting for the pressure to build just that last day.
Wellington Phoenix, Perth Glory, good crowd, 10,000, which is good for the Phoenix, so that was good to see. And some cracking goals. Paul Ifill looking very lively, and Leo Berta scored an absolute screamer. Yeah. The Glory won't be happy. They got the lead, but, obviously went behind So they're struggling. They're down second bottom, but you know, two away games, so maybe you know, they should get better and better. Sydney FC versus Adelaide. I saw that game, and Adelaide were very good. I mean, particularly in the first half, but Sydney got stronger. And the interesting thing to me was Scott Jamieson against Kofi Dunning. You know, Kofi Dunning getting a real test there against you know, Socceroos defender. Jamieson had him locked up for the first 20 minutes, but Dunning had enough skill quality to change his game a little bit. And certainly, I mean, he just walked all over him in the end. And I think, as you were saying, Paddy, Jamieson perhaps better going forward than defending.
Yeah, and I think that shows for a player that's is reasonably young player, making his mark in the A-League, but the step up to the European leagues is going to be a big step. He's got a bit of work to do before he's a quality professional.
He has, but certainly Kofi, yeah, I mean, I suppose passed another test. Mark Bridge, beautiful goal.
Yeah.
Showing a bit of depth as well for Sydney FC. Like, they've got Bridge coming on, they've got Mitchell Prentice, they've got a Stuart Micharlet can't get in. Adam Casey's still around. I mean, they've actually got a bit of a... And Ryan Grant is expected to be better than Kofi Dunning, not in the same position, obviously, but so they've got a bit of depth this year, maybe.
Yeah, I thought Adelaide are a difficult team to beat, and they've consistently been a difficult team to beat, and I think it's a good indication of how tough a team Sydney are going to be this year.
They can't score goals, that's any problem for
Adelaide. I was just going to say that from the highlights, looks like the finishing is not very good.
No, and I mean, if you can't score a goal or you only get one in a game, you're always going to struggle to get those wins. But yep, they're certainly a good team. But Central Coast, Newcastle Jets, we must mention them, 1-1. Central Coast very strong, I thought, and the Jets...
we're lucky to come up with a draw, I thought.
Yeah, the Jets underperforming, I think, at the moment. They've got... I mean, everyone's saying, oh, they're going to be down around the bottom. But if you look at the quality of the players they've got, they should be up around the top, I think. So, Branko, you've got to put your finger out, mate.
Mm. Yeah, I think it's... he hasn't been coached for very long for them. I think it's a work in progress.
Yeah. Okay, so that's our A-League wrap. We'll be back to talk
just
more.
One thing. I just wanted to note that it's a little bit unfortunate, but the teams with the two worst names are the team on the bottom of the ladder, the Glory and the Fury. I think there's something in that.
You don't like those names?
Well, I think maybe if we choose names a little bit more football sensible, the team's obviously going to do a lot better.
Like Gold Coast United or Sydney FC.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, Paddy, you're onto something there. So they just need to change their names, clearly.
Socceroos in Asia, will they make it to the cup? The Near Post will wish them luck. The Near Post will.
I spoke to my dad, Mr. Edward Flanagan, who lives in Port Leash in County Leash, not far from Limerick. And I said to Dad, what did you think of the game? And he said, you know, those bloody Socceroos, they're a good side. And I thought, no one else, I've never heard anybody say that. But my dad thought they were excellent. My dad's about 80, and he's a Gaelic footballer, a hurler, but he knows everything about everything, of course, a bit like his son. And he said he was really impressed, and he said he think the Aussies could give it a shake at the World Cup. They could shock some teams. What do you think?
I was so happy with that game. We had possession. We had control of the game for large parts of the game. It was, you know, I'm just not used to seeing the Socceroos against really good teams and hold their own as much as they did.
And attacking football.
Can we play Ireland every week?
Yeah, well.
I mean, Fozzie, the great Craig Foster, said that we obviously need better opposition than useless players who play in England. He didn't say that bit, but basically he's right, isn't he? I mean, the Aussies have got guys who play in Russia, Holland, Turkey, and Tim Cahill and the likes who play in England. To me, they've got a better balance of, you know, and it showed on the night. I mean, Ireland have got some reasonable players, Aidan McGeady from Celtic, Damien Duff, Robbie Keane. But, you know, you look at the quality of their midfielders and there's not a lot of great... Well, there's not many players playing Champions League for a start, and that gives you a kind of a level. But still, 3-0 away from home is a fantastic result.
It's a great result for us. There were some comments in the media about how Australia do reasonably well against European opposition, certainly sort of players that they're used to playing against, but we might be struggling against players maybe from and teams from... some the South American continent.
Well, certainly the Irish players, I mean, they don't move the ball the way even the Asian players. I mean, the Bahrains and the Iraqis cause us more problems, really, than... but still, we won. And I thought Scott McDonald linked really well with Tim Cahill.
He did. I thought he really stood out. And then the goal back... Was it Carney who scored the third goal?
Yeah, David Carney.
That was a cracker of a goal.
He needs to make the most of it because he probably won't get another game with anybody for another few months. And also, I thought Reece Williams did enough to show that he's going to be able to play at that level for many years. I mean, he may not be the greatest fullback, I don't know, but he's certainly...
he's very useful to us. Mm. And he's a really good pickup.
He could possibly go centre midfield, central defence over time.
Yeah, and he's playing in Middlesbrough. He's going to get some game time.
Luke Wiltshire again showed his versatility, central midfield. You know, Valeri was out, Chalina was out, and Grella, but we still performed. You know, Jedinak and Wiltshire were good enough to, you know, supply the team that beat the Irish. So
yeah, didn't he do a good job? Because he didn't really picked out a somebody out of nowhere there.
And, he did, because I don't know anybody else within the Australian football community, fans or expert or fans, who would have said Luke Wiltshire should have been in the starting World Cup or in the squad even.
I know. And he's held his place.
He's great. It's only really now that I'm beginning to warm to him, actually. You know, certainly his free kicks and corners, forget them. But as a team player, he's really, you know, yeah, he's worth his weight, isn't he?
And Lucas Newell's watching from the sideline, isn't he?
Well,
he doesn't
He doesn't have a team. Apparently, he might be off to Sunderland. God help him, going to live up in the north of England. But anyway, it's obviously not about money, is it, Lukash?
What's he doing? Why is he changing teams again like that?
Well, they're saying that his club is, his contract's 100,000 plus a year, and they've offered him 60,000. So, you know, I guess that's where. And I don't think the family, reading between the lines, the family want to move to Turkey. He's got young kids.
Yeah.
So I guess
the offer from Galatasaray?
Yeah, it sounds to me like, because that would have been snapped up, I reckon, by now. But maybe. So Sunderland, why is he changing? It's all about money. You know.
I think it is, but I'd like to see him settle in to West Ham and stay where he's captain and valued.
Not enough. Would you go to work for $130,000 a year? Yeah, a week, sorry. Probably not, Paddy.
To go back on the rumour you were saying before about Schmelt, Farina was quoted to say that they wouldn't sell Schmelt this season for no amount of money.
Farina wouldn't say that, but he's not his coach. Blyberg.
Sorry.
Yeah. Yes. No, Blyberg said that, but apparently it's in his contract I read today, 300,000. If someone comes in with an offer for 300,000, they'll have to sell him. So there's, we'll see. It'd be interesting to see whether, you'd imagine 300,000, somebody could afford that in Asia quite easily, wouldn't you? So maybe he'll be gone. Maybe that's the best hope for the A-League, that somebody buys Shane Smeltz.
And New Zealand
and Adam
as well.
Griffiths and the rest of the Gold Coast team. Okay, South Korea is next for the Socceroos. I think that'll be a good test. It's in Seoul, September the 5th, and the ticket's on sale for the Holland game and then the Oman Asian Cup qualifier in October. So there's a couple of big games coming up. But South Korea, what do you think about that one? We up for it?
Yes, I think definitely. We're on a roll at the moment. So
will he take anybody to that game? I mean, there's no reason why an Asian, an Aussie can't go, an Asian Aussie and a European Aussie. He should be able to pick anybody, shouldn't he?
You should. We should see a decent team. And this is World Cup preparation, so we should see a team that he's preparing to take to the World Cup.
Yeah, also just a final note on soccer, Adam Moy didn't play, but apparently he got a bit of a run for Bolton. On the weekend.
How'd he go?
Don't know. But but if he's getting a run at 17 or 18 or 19, whatever he is, in the Premier League, then that suggests that maybe we've got another guy on the way up. So that'll be, we'll certainly keep an eye out and we'll let you know how good he is. Okay, the A-League games coming up this week. We've got, the 5 millionth A-League fan will go through the gates at Hindmarsh on Friday to watch Adelaide versus Gold Coast. Now, I'd be surprised if it's not a sellout. It's going to be an absolute ripper of a game. And if Jason Chalina and Gold Coast don't bring in, I mean, Adelaide get good crowds anyway. What do you think, Michelle? You up for this one? It could be a good game.
Yeah, I think that's the one I think I should be watching. And I think Gold Coast should win this game.
Yeah, I used to watch a lot of games, but this year with been so many on, I've decided I'm going to just focus on the one because there's so much football you can watch.
Yeah, a lot of football.
There's a lot of fun. I think
that's
probably the game of the round. The other game, Central Coast Sydney, North Queensland versus Melbourne, and Brisbane Wellington, Perth Newcastle. But Adelaide Gold Coast, should be a cracker, shouldn't it? And a good test for the Gold Coast down at Hindmarsh, and should be a good crowd in. Central Coast Sydney, who's going to win that one?
I think Sydney.
Yeah, Sydney. I'll go for Sydney.
They're a machine at the moment.
Sydney are a machine? Are you a Sydney fan, by the way?
No. I think they're playing better than they have for a very long while.
Maybe, but I think I'm not convinced by Carroll Kissel. In an attacking sense, I like him, but defensively, him and McFlynn don't really do an awful lot for me. And also, at the back, Stephen Keller, I don't know. I think they can be exposed there. I'm not convinced. And Sharon Cole is not. He's not a great fullback.
Yeah,
but they haven't
I've
had
been
many
waiting
goals.
For him to develop, and he really hasn't come through like
I
expected.
No, he's probably better played off. Well, I think he'd be better played up further up the field in midfield, maybe, because I don't think he's, his defensive qualities aren't that good, I think. So I think, I don't know, Paddy.
They're finding ways to win, and I reckon they'll be winning on the weekend.
I think they'll be beating Central Coast. The new coach is doing well.
Michael McGlinchey doing quite well for the Central Coast, do you think? No. Okay. All right, fair enough. But I thought the Central Coast had done okay. I thought they ran over Newcastle, really.
They're good at neutralising teams, and they're very good at set pieces, and I think they play to their strengths.
Yeah.
They didn't win.
No, they didn't win, said the Newcastle Jets fan. Thank you very much. Okay, so the Central Coast are still written off by the Near Post, but Sydney getting a bit of support. Interesting. North Queensland versus Melbourne, Michelle.
Melbourne victory.
It's a question of how many by, is it?
I think at least three.
Yeah, I mean, Melbourne aren't that good, but it's just the fact that...
I'm looking forward to it. I think both teams are really going to go for it. They're getting a bit desperate.
They need somebody in the centre midfield, the Fury, to just give them a chance. And unlike Dwight York, who could drop back and control it for Sydney, Robbie Fowler
is unable to do that.
Archie Thompson missing that goal last week.
Oh, I know. What a goal it would have been, wouldn't it?
It would have won the game.
Yeah, mind you, it's the other guy, Sergio van Dijk, had scored at the other end 2 seconds before. That would have won the game too. Brisbane Wellington up at Suncorp. Brisbane's struggling. Lost to the Gold Coast, if you can count that as struggling, and drew with Melbourne. Who's going to win that one? Yeah. Brisbane, Wellington?
Brisbane.
Mm. I want Wellington to win.
I mean, to me, Wellington's not so bad. A team that's got Diego and Danielle and also Leo Bertos looks on fire, yeah. And Eiffel. They've actually got a bit of quality there to work with, even though everybody keeps writing them off.
I see them as a really hard-working team that haven't got their... the reward yet, and I'd like to see them do reasonably well this season.
Mind you, if they give the ball away like Michael Franti did for the goal on the weekend, then after 4 minutes, I mean, they're not going to do well.
But I think that's in Brisbane, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's miles away from Wellington, isn't it? I mean, to travel, it's got to be a hard travel. Every game away from home, really, for them is, I mean, who'd sign for them? Just the travel alone, I mean, they're almost as bad as Perth, they're the same as Perth and all North Queensland. I mean, those three clubs... Not going to be easy for them, is it? And Perth, Newcastle. Perth at home with their three Socceroos. And what do you think?
Oh, look, Perth by three.
Perth by three?
No way.
I've got to say, that's based on just pure hope and not actually any analysis of the quality of the teams whatsoever.
Well, that's what we do normally on the Near Post. Why make it any different?
The Jets will come with a win. We'll come away with a win this time.
You sure?
They've won one.
They've won one.
They've drawn one, so they haven't technically lost.
They are playing Perth, and Perth do have a way of losing games.
They do, but hopefully Perth will get a good crowd first up at home and get off the bottom of the table. So good luck to Perth. Good luck to your club on the weekend, wherever you are, whatever level of football you're playing or watching, if you are going to the Near Post.
Get there first.
Near Post, get there first. The Near Post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The Near Post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst. The Near Post, get there first.
If you are going to the Near Post.
Get there first.
Near Post, get there first. The Near Post, get there first.